Certainly appreciate the presence of each one that's able to be out with us this morning. Appreciate the good prayer that Michael led us in a few moments ago. And appreciate Max leading us in songs as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And appreciate the good reading of the scripture that Doug just gave for us there from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Coming off of a great week of a gospel meeting, as many of you are very well aware of, Brandon did a great job of presenting lessons from God's Word this past week on presenting a series of lessons titled Weathering the Storm. And as I sat at Brandon's feet last week, and as he talked about weathering the storm throughout the week, I mentioned to him many times last week that his series on weathering the storm was very timely for our congregation. As many of you know, there are many in our congregation who are dealing with various afflictions. There are many in our congregation who are currently dealing with various storms of life. Those that are dealing with the various afflictions of the flesh. Those who are grieving the recent passing of loved ones. Those who are struggling spiritually. We are all very well aware of that. And those in our congregation who are dealing with those various afflictions. However, as I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about Brandon's sermon series, I was reminded of the fact that not only do the various difficult circumstances take a toll on the individuals that are going through those difficult times, but it also takes a toll upon those who are closest to them, doesn't it? It also takes a toll on those who are closest to those. And as I got to thinking about the many here at Belleville that are dealing with those various trials and afflictions, I kept coming back to what Doug read for us a few moments ago. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And there the Apostle Paul's exhortation is to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, brother, and I want us to take some time to really think about that exhortation of the inspired apostle this morning. I want us to take some time to realize that no matter how dire a circumstance we may find ourselves in, no matter how difficult a situation in the trials of life that may come upon us may be, there are many more blessings than adversities. Remember that. And it is because of that that we as God's children should always have a joyful disposition. Remember that song we just sung just a few moments ago that Max led us in? We shall never be what? Discouraged. But we shall do what? Take everything to God in prayer. Think about that. Because we as God's children, we should always be joyful. We should rejoice always. We should never be discouraged. And we should pray consistently, being ever mindful of how many things we have to be thankful for. Knowing, as Paul said there in verse 18, that this is the will of God in Christ for us. So with those inspired instruction of the Apostle Paul pressed upon our mind, the instruction to rejoice always and pray without ceasing in our thoughts, let's take some time this morning to open up our Bibles and let's notice some reasons for why we need to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And I begin by suggesting to each of us this morning that as God's children, we need to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, knowing that God cares for us, and knowing that He is able to provide help in a time of need. You see, oftentimes when we face the various storms of this life, oftentimes people feel like that they're alone. They feel like that no one cares for them. Even many will sometimes blame God for the circumstance that they're going through. And even some of our own brethren will ask God, why are you doing this to me? Don't you care? And I venture to say that at some point in time, you or somebody you know probably have felt that way. You've probably been going through a difficult circumstance in your life at some point in time to where you felt like nobody cared, not even God. But I'm here to tell you, brethren, God cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. And He cares for me. We need to be mindful of the fact, brethren, that God cares when we go through the various trials of this life. We learn about that there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And there, Peter, in the context there, is instructing God's people to humble themselves. And he goes on to instruct them to cast their cares upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. You see, God cares. No matter how much we may feel like nobody cares, there is always someone who cares. God. He cares for us. And what did Peter say that we need to do because of that? We need to cast our cares upon Him. As we sung a few moments ago, we need to take it to Him in prayer. That's important. It's important because of the fact that God is able to provide help in our time of need. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? You should be. And I want to remind us of that as we learn from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Turn over there with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse number 16. Notice the instruction of the inspired Hebrews writer here. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Why? "That we may obtain mercy and find grace," now watch it, "to help in time of need." That's certainly an occasion to rejoice as God's people, isn't it? It's an occasion for us to rejoice and to pray without ceasing, knowing that God cares for us, knowing that He is able to provide us with help in a time of need when we cast our cares upon Him. I don't know about you, but I take great delight in knowing that. I take great comfort in knowing that. And brethren, each and every one of us should rejoice always and pray without ceasing, knowing that God cares for you, knowing that He is able to provide help in a time of need. But I also suggest to us this morning another reason for why we should rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And that is, we should do that knowing that through Jesus Christ, we have a peace. A peace that the world cannot give. You see, many of you are very familiar with Jesus' discussion with His chosen disciples there in John chapter 14. And as good Bible students, you're familiar with the context there in John chapter 14. You're familiar with what Jesus speaking to His chosen disciples, telling them that He was about to be leaving them. He knew that He was going to have to go to the cross and that He was going to die for our sins. And He knew that He was going to be shortly leaving them. And He was trying to encourage them and prepare them for that, wasn't He? And in doing that, there in John chapter 14, verse 27, notice these words of Jesus to them. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, the word peace there at this time was often used as a parting greeting. It was shalom. And it was often used as a parting greeting. Peace. But Jesus took it to the next level here, didn't He? You see, here Jesus talks about this peace that could not be extinguished by the calamities of life. He's talking about an inner peace That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about an inner peace. This peace, he says to his disciples, that he gives to you. He says, this peace that I give to you, it's not like the peace of the world. It's not like that the world gives, that I give to you. It's much better than that, isn't it? It's an inner peace. And this inner peace that cannot be extinguished by life's calamities. Jesus was simply instructing his disciples not to be worried, not to be filled with the anxieties of this life, but to be confident and bold, knowing that I'm going to leave you and give you this peace. And that's why he tells them, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Think about that. Jesus goes on to say to them, fast forwarding there to John chapter 16 and then to verse number 33. Again, speaking to his disciples, he said, these things I have spoken to you. Why, Jesus? That in me you may have peace. In the world, now watch it, Jesus says, you will have tribulation, but be what? Be of good cheer. Why? Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Remember that, brethren. Remember that when the storms of life come upon you. Remember the need to be of good cheer. I know that's not easy. I know that's not easy. It's not easy to be joyful. It's not easy to rejoice and to be of good cheer when the trials and the afflictions of this life are upon us. But you want to know something? Those trials and those afflictions that we go through, they're of value to us. They're a value to us. That's why James said there in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, that's why he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That word patience there is better rendered enduring perseverance. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to be a benefit to you. We need to be mindful of that, don't we? And we need to rejoice, knowing that in Christ we have that inner peace. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Nancy Deringer was a great example of one whom I really saw an inner peace in. Max can relate to that. He was with me that day. I'll never forget. I was relatively new here at Belleville. I was here doing my preacher training. And Nancy was very sick. She was on her deathbed, literally. And Max and I went to visit her to give her some comfort. And I was just impressed with the peace that she had. I was impressed with how it was just so well with her soul, knowing what she was about to go through. She knew her time was limited. She knew it. But you know, she was at peace with it. She had that inner peace. She knew that she had that hope of heaven. She knew that she had that hope of being in a place where there was no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. And because of that, she was at peace. When I think about that, even fast forwarding now to 2023, I think about Miriam McCubbin. Miriam McCubbin has lived 2 months past what she was expected to live. For 2 months, since Miriam was told that she had just a couple weeks to go, that's been on her mind. She's had to live with that. And you want to know something? Just visiting with her yesterday, I am impressed again with the peace that she has. That's an occasion to rejoice, brethren. And each and every one of us should rejoice. Each and every one of us should have that inner peace of knowing that we have that hope as God's children of a better place. A place of eternal bliss. You see, when I think about that, that's why it's important that as Jesus was teaching his disciples not to let their heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We too, no matter what situation we may find ourselves in, need to have that disposition. We too, as Jesus said there in John 16, verse 33, knowing that in this world, he didn't say that you might have tribulation. He says you will have tribulation. It's going to happen. And when it does happen, we need to be, as Jesus said, of good cheer, knowing that he has overcome the world. And we need to be a people who are not anxious, but rather we need to take everything to God in prayer. When I think about that, I think about Paul's instruction there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And there Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now watch it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, worry less and pray more. We need to be mindful of that, brethren. When we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, we need to be a people who worry less and pray more. Knowing, as we talked about just a moment ago, that God cares for us and he is able to provide help in a time of need. Certainly another reason to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, isn't it? But as we continue with some more thoughts on why we as God's children need to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, I'm reminded of the fact that we need to do so because there is power in prayer. We're very well aware of that here at Belleville, aren't we? We're very well aware of the power that is in prayer. Again, look around. Look around. We have some brethren that are here with us this morning who just a few months ago and even a year ago was said that they didn't expect them to make it through the day. Iris is here. She was told that not too long ago, a few months ago, maybe a year ago, right? She was told that she probably wouldn't make it through the night. Iris is one who truly understands the power in prayer. You know how many times Iris has told me, I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the prayers of the brethren here at Belleville. Many times. Bill Bumgardner just recently reminded me about a year ago, he was fighting for his life. Many of you probably remember that day, don't you? I remember that day very well. I remember Bruce taking Bill to the hospital and even calling Bill and talking to Bill just a few hours before I decided to go visit with him. And I went there to visit with him expecting to sit down and talk with Bill just as we had a conversation. But that's not how I found Bill when I got to the hospital. When I went there to his room, I saw this hospital room full of emergency personnel. And you know what they were doing? They were incubating Bill. They were doing life-saving measures upon Bill. And the doctor came out and he says, who are you? And I said, I'm Bill's preacher. And you know what that doctor told me? He says, Bill needs prayers, and Bill needs prayers now. That's what he told me. So thankful for Kyla and Dolores and for them and their quick action many times to get on the phone in their phone tree and to ask the brethren and petition them for their prayers in a time of need. I'm convinced in the power of prayer. And brethren, we need to be mindful of the fact that that is a reason to rejoice. Knowing that as God's children, we are able to go to God in prayer, knowing that He will hear our prayers, and knowing that if it is His will, our request will be granted. You see, when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the example that we find there in James chapter 5. Open up your Bibles there with me, if you will, there in James chapter 5. And there in James chapter 5, we're very familiar with verse 16, where James says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." We're very familiar with that passage, aren't we? But you know what? Oftentimes we overlook verses 17 and 18. And there in 17 and 18, we have an example of the power of prayer. Notice that with me. James gives this example in verse 17 of Elijah. Elijah, who was a man with a nature like ours. Simply put, he was just like you and me. He says, "And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain." What happened? "And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Until when?" Verse 18. "And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit." There's an example of the power of prayer. And brethren, there is power in prayer. And we need to be mindful of that, never forgetting that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. You see, again, when I think about that, and I think about Bill's situation, I think about Bill going back to his doctor a few weeks ago for a follow-up after Bill recovered. I remember Bill telling me, his doctor telling him, "I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you're here." And what did he tell him? "You're here because of the prayers." You see, God, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, when I think about doctors giving people just a few days or weeks to live, I'm always remindful of the fact that they're not in control, but God's in control. I'm always remindful of the fact that God is able, if it is His will, to answer our prayers and to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And when I think about that, I'm reminded of the words of the apostle found there in Ephesians chapter 3. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Ephesians, the third chapter. And notice these words of Paul beginning there in verse number 20. In the context here, Paul is praising God for His power. And notice these inspired words of Paul beginning here in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Think about that. You see, here Paul recognizing God Almighty and the power that He has. And he's praising Him for His power. And he's reminding us of the fact that our Almighty God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask Him of or even think of. That's a reason to rejoice and to pray without ceasing, isn't it? Certainly a reason for why we should rejoice always. and pray without ceasing. Because our God is an almighty, powerful God who is able to do more than what we could ever imagine. But I also suggest to us this morning the need for us to rejoice always and pray without ceasing because of the need to be thankful for all the blessings of this life that God has given to us. You see, as we mentioned earlier, no matter how dire a circumstance we may find ourselves in, there is always much more to be thankful for than not to be thankful for. There are always many more blessings than adversities. And it's because of that that we should always rejoice, being constantly reminded of how many things we truly have to be thankful for. You see, we often sing a hymn, "Count Your Blessings." And in that hymn it says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." Have you sat down and done that lately? I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that, BJ, DJ. I encourage you guys to do that. I encourage you to sit down and just start writing how many blessings in your life that you have to be thankful for. I venture to say, you're going to run out of paper. Because each and every one of us have so much to be thankful for. And we need to be mindful of that, brethren. When the storms of life comes upon us, we do not need to focus our attention upon our adversities, but rather we need to redirect our focus and focus our attention upon what blessings we have. Because we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much that God has given us to be thankful for. When I think about that, I'm mindful of Psalm 103. Go with me, if you will, there. It's the 103rd Psalm. And here in Psalm 103, we see here David giving God praise. And notice these words of David, beginning here in verse number 1 of Psalm 103. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now watch it. "And forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" Remember that? You see, here David recognized that it is God who gives to us so many benefits, so many blessings. And because of that, David pleaded that he would not forget all of his benefits. Think about that. David realized that all the good things he had, all the benefits that he was able to enjoy, came from the Lord his God. You think he was thankful for that? Absolutely he was. Absolutely he was. And you know what, brethren? Each and every one of us receives so many benefits from the Lord our God. Each and every one of us are so richly blessed beyond what any of us deserve. And for that we should rejoice always. And we should pray without ceasing, ever giving thanks to God in everything. That's what Paul said to do there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. And again, I want you to notice that. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want you to remember that, brethren. And I also want to ask the question, when's the last time you went to God in prayer and just thanked Him for your many blessings? When's the last time you went to God and thanked Him? You see, too many times, even some of our brethren only want to go to God in prayer in a time of need. That's the only time they want to pray to God, when they need something. But we need to, as Paul said, pray without ceasing. That means we need to be continual in prayer. Always in everything, giving thanks to God. We need to be reminded, brethren, to not just go to God in prayer in a time of need, but we need to go to Him in times of rejoicing. We need to go to Him at times and just thank Him for what He has done for us. Thank Him for our many blessings, the many benefits that come from Him. But I also suggest to us this morning the need to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, remembering that we as Christians are instructed to always do just that. Again, the all-inspired Word of God instructs Christians to be a happy people. Always. Not just some of the time, but all of the time. And I want you to notice this instruction of the Apostle Paul to Christians there in Philippians 4:4. Notice what Paul said there. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Again, notice Paul didn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord once in a while. But rather he said rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Remember that. And be mindful of the fact that as God's children, we should be filled with constant joy. No matter what situation we find ourselves in. And as God's children, we should be the happiest people on the earth. Because we have a hope. We have a hope that the world does not have. We have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And brethren, I'm here to tell you that that hope that we have as a Christian of eternal life is not wishful thinking. It's not wishful thinking, but rather it is an earnest desire coupled with a confident expectation. It's real. And it's because of that we should rejoice always. Remember that. And be one who rejoice always and who prays without ceasing, being mindful of Paul's instruction there in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 when he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Rejoice always. Pray consistently. Being thankful to God. And again, remember as we see there in the latter part of 1 Thessalonians 5 there in verse number 18, the need why we should rejoice always and pray without ceasing, the need why we should in everything give thanks, the important part, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know what that means? It means that's what God demands of His people. God demands His people. His will for His people is to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to be mindful that it is God's will for His people, no matter what circumstance they find themselves in, to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing. My beloved brethren, may we all rejoice always and pray without ceasing. No matter what comes along the way as we pilgrim through this land. And may we never forget, as we learn there in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope that we've talked about here this morning. You too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember of the need to continue to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The need to remain faithful unto death, remembering the promise that Jesus gave for those who do, that crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who is dealing with a various trial in your life. Maybe you're struggling in sin. Maybe you're struggling in affliction. Maybe you'd like to enlist the prayers of your brothers and sisters. We're going to make that opportunity available for you. And if there is one here this morning who is in sin, we plead with you to repent. We plead with you, if you've already submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will, to repent of your sins and to confess them to Him, asking Him for His forgiveness, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you would like to enlist the prayers of the saints on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be. Won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing a song and act as slaves.